cliffcentral.com.
We can turn our attention to our friend Jaco Voigt, who is from Catalytic, and it's always good to have Jaco on the show. We don't have him on every week, but we have him on every other week, and he's here this morning. He's got his own show on this morning, which you can catch a little bit later on. It's called Unbundled, but Yaku's here this morning to share with us some wisdom, some stories, some stuff we need to know. How are you doing, man? Yaco, you're on mute.
How's it, Lebang? Welcome back.
How's it?
Hi, Jaco. How are you?
I was listening intently to Garrett going on, and I think it's quite relevant.
Oh, is it? I'm glad that somebody agrees with me, because I'm just tired of being like, you know, if you're going to lie to me, like, at least make it a good lie. I don't mind if you're going to try and pull the wool over my eyes, but then make it a good story. Like, you know, and then the shark came out of the water and it jumped up and it grabbed my leg, but it only got my little toe. And now I've been in hospital for a week. And, you know, tell me a good story. Then I'll go, wow, it was worth being bullshitted. You agree?
I think it's been drawn out for so long that they don't even have to try anymore. It's just say anything, and then people just go for it and believe it. It's a bit bizarre for me, to be honest.
And yet these are the very people, Jaco, who are trying to tell us that they have a monopoly on the truth. They're the ones who say, you know, this Joe Biden who's trying to his administration that are trying to redefine the word recession, even though it's been an established word that has a meaning in economics for the longest time. He's the one who's trying to redefine it. He is also the one who tried to establish a ministry of disinformation not so long ago. They put this woman in who was a complete crackpot. She was singing like songs from The Sound of Music on YouTube. They're going to put her in charge. There was such outrage from people. They were like, no, you can't put a ministry of disinformation in place. This is like George Orwell's 1984. So they said, okay, well, we won't do that then. And they quickly withdrew her. These are the people who are going to lie to us, and yet they want to tell us they're busy making sure we're not lied to by everyone else. Nonsense.
From Jacinda in New Zealand, that also she was also saying we're the single source of truth, so just believe everything that we say. You know, so it was interesting
I think what we're all getting to here is that if government tells you something, it's usually, just because it comes from them, it's usually the opposite of the truth.
You know, that almost leads into the let's call it the commercial reality that we live in, is because people find it more and more difficult to discern, you know, what's the truth versus, you know, a good sales pitch. And I think, you know, if you look at what's happening in the South African market, I don't know if you saw last week, MTN said they're in the process of they made a bid to buy Telkom. And then a couple of months earlier, Vodacom was doing the same, you know. So it's actually quite topical. I was just thinking before we started about these sort of mega corporations that's starting to come about, you know, as the market consolidates. And then as a little small business somewhere, you know, you're just becoming sort of more diminutive by the minute as you go on. You know, you're just becoming almost less and less relevant.
So, Jaco, you've been in the telco business for a long time. You understand internet service provision. That's why you started this business, and you're in charge of Catalytic now. But what is the state of play at the moment? Because it used to be that Vodacom and MTN were the big guys. Telkom obviously used to have all the fixed line infrastructure, which is pretty much redundant in most places. And then there's Cell C kind of trailing behind them. Who are the major players, though? I mean, is that still the state of play, or has it changed? Who are the big 18-pound gorillas in the room?
I'll answer that question. You actually made me think now. I was having a conversation about a week ago. And I think definitely... For me, let's call it post-pandemic, if you know, if that's a term that's usable, I think customers have become perpetually sort of dissatisfied, you know, so like everybody wants more for less, if you want to call it that. Sure. But I had such an interesting conversation a week ago with a guy that was in one of the big original internet companies, which is now part of Dimension Data, and he explained to me, you know, when they started out, and they had these blue chip customers, and then you know, you had like like a dedicated support desk and a direct number for a support guy, et cetera, et cetera. And then as that sort of value chain, as it commoditizes, then all of a sudden, even if you phone from, let me just use a hypothetical, from one of the big banks or whatever, you go into a queue and you wait your turn like everybody else because you've basically chopped off that premium portion that you're paying for the service that you're expecting. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh no, but why must I now get such terrible service? It's ridiculous. So it's to a degree, customers also, create the unideal circumstances for themselves by pushing for this constant commoditization and saying, yeah, I want it cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. And ultimately, people keep cutting the costs, but and then you've got this perception of, oh, I need to change to a different service provider because the service is bad. But it's like that with everybody, like if you don't run lean and mean in this market, you've got a problem, and that's why MTN is probably making a play for somebody like a Telkom or whatever, because in those larger ones, it's more difficult to run lean and mean. And then obviously, the bigger the machine, the slower the cogs are turning, So from an end customer perspective, it doesn't matter how the markets spin it. I don't fundamentally believe it's a good thing. It's probably inevitable. I think as an end customer, that's something that I speak in my show about often. The customer has got to be more discerning around who they do business with and who it is that they pick to do business with, and who they entrust their business to. So the big ones at the moment are those guys that you mentioned, and then there's there's obviously Dimension Data is a big one. The whole of Vox Group, they've just rebranded themselves to Vivica. Right. That's quite a big monster, and then obviously those the big mobile guys like you mentioned, those are the guys, and then and then you've got Liquid, who was the original second network operator. No, so those are almost the mainstream players, but I mean, as you can see, I mean, Telkom, 15 years ago or 10 years ago, even it was unimaginable that somebody would come and just have the ability to say, listen, we're going to buy you out. And it's not even considered to be that big a transaction. If you listen to the financial analysts, they're talking about 15 billion rand or something like that. It's not even that massive. But from a consumer perspective, in my opinion, I don't think it's not a good place for where the market's at.
So what does this mean for consumers? Because as these companies get bigger, they become further and further, more and more disintermediated from the clients. Obviously, this is an advantage for you guys. You must be licking your lips, Yaku, because it means that you're going to have a lot of dissatisfied MTN and Telkom customers coming to you.
It's actually and it's true. We always say, if those big guys, if they were firing on all cylinders, we probably wouldn't exist. Yeah. I think from our perspective, the challenge or the work that we have to do primarily on a daily basis is explain to customers what that value is that we can deliver and what the benefit is for them in terms of not going with those big guys. And it's interesting, because like in all of the businesses that I've been involved in, we've always we were the guys that were disintermediating these regulated large type guys, which customers have been calling for. And yet some customers, when it gets to that point, then they go, yeah, but I'm not really sure. You guys look a bit new, so let me just say, so like, you've got to also pick your, what do you want? Do you want somebody that's going to fight for you and make sure that you get value for money and the best deal, or do you want to have your cake and eat it? So it's an interesting market.
All right, so let's just understand this quickly from the point of view of the customer, because that's all that matters. I mean, we're only interested in ourselves as customers. We're not that worried about all the other stuff. The whole model for these guys has changed so much too, and this is where you've got like years of experience in this. So you're the only guy who can answer this without like propagandizing the answer. Originally, it was about connecting people via cell phones. I mean, remember, that was where MTN and Vodacom made all their money, and they charged us a fortune remember what you had airtime, then you had SMS bundles, and you had like unlimited calls or whatever. Then they moved from that on to data. Now data is the only thing anyone cares about. All the other parts of their packages are completely useless. And they've been trying to find new income streams. Have they found any? Have companies like Vodacom really done anything innovative in the last 10 years?
That is a hot button question. I'm having lunch with some people from Vodacom today, so I might have to pay if I answer that question.
This is true, right? Because I remember they were the darlings of the industry, and everybody was looking. Well, what is if Vodacom are doing something, it must be amazing. And you had Alan Knott Craig, who was this. He was considered this paragon, and he knew what he was doing, and he was way ahead of the game. And then ever since then, it's been kind of like, well, maintenance, and then not just even maintenance, but like going backwards, because their main product was suddenly cheap.
And so to answer your question, and I think that's part of the reason why you see this drive for consolidation, because when you get scale, you get efficiencies. So if you're not creating new markets, or if the market's saturated or whatever, the only thing that's left is you can consolidate, and that's sort of where we're at now at the moment. You know, and I think there's been a lot of talk about it in the market for quite a while, but I think specifically post COVID, et cetera, that's happening now, where these guys are going, well, the only real new numbers that I can put on the board is by consolidating and buying up other existing businesses.
That's not great, right, Jaco? I mean, if that's all you're doing, that's not great, huh? All right. Well, there's a look into that world, yeah.
Back to my starting point. If you're in small business, like you say, the people that care about themselves. Imagine now, if you like my little example of a 20-man accounting business, and you have to find some massive call center and wait in a queue for something. The bigger the organization, the more difficult it is to deliver an individualized service. And there's a lot of talk in the market, and I mean, I might contradict some of the technology that we believe in, but there's a lot of talk in the market where you've got to send customers into a self-service online queue and this and that and this and that. But fundamentally, people want to speak to people, and when you've got a problem, you want to pick up the phone, you want to find somebody and say, listen, this is Gareth, phoning from Cliff Central. I want this problem sorted out. You don't want to sit there and press IVRs for the whole day and hope for the best, you know. So,
or be put through to a call center in India, for example, which is what a lot of people have found themselves being put through to, right? It's also a big problem.
On one of those, it's terrible.
All right. Well, it continues to
English
be...
English accent with somebody in India, it's almost impossible.
But Jaco, this is exciting for the customers. So in the end, we're going to be the ones who benefit. And I'm only too happy about that.
The end customer's got to be more discerning and understand what it is that they expect from their service provider. And I think if that's the case, then I think there can definitely be a win-win type scenario. To me, I think every customer engagement is almost like a partnership. You've got to pick somebody that you can walk the road with instead of just today is a yellow smartie and tomorrow is a black smartie or whatever the case is. You've got to pick somebody that you walk the road with.
Just like you have to choose your news sources, I'm afraid. It's down to you. You can't expect someone else to make these decisions for you. If you do let someone else make them for you, you deserve whatever happens afterwards. Jaco Voigt is from Catalytic. He's got his own show on cliffcentral.com called Unbundled. They do lots of interesting things on the show. I advise you to listen this morning. You're on live on cliffcentral.com, and you can always get the podcast too. cliffcentral.com